Welcome again, everyone. Thank you for joining in the stillness. It's one of the ways that we honor ourselves as we are the stillness. We are the heart of everything, life itself, this aware presence that animates everything, gazes out of all the eyes, feels everything, holds everything as benevolent space. And what touches me about these gatherings, other than the fact that the heart is so moved to join in, is that here we all are together, bringing our awareness to what is, and then sharing what we notice about it. A very unusual conversation, one of the deepest conversations we can have. So opening it up to inviting you to share what you notice, and once again, just press *6 if you'd like to, and when it feels complete, *6 again. Hello.
Hi.
So you're breaking up. Are you using a headset? Ooh, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, okay.
Susan, can you hear me? This is Kate with Open Circle.
Yes.
It's really hard to hear you, so what I would suggest is that you hang up and try again. And when you come back on, I can see when you're on, so I can let Pamela know if
okay.
You're next in line. So we want to make sure that we can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Kate. Yes, Susan, you were really breaking up. Impossible to hear.
Hi, Pamela. It's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Is it clear or is it breaking up?
No, it's very good.
Okay. What I would like to ask you is, you know, when we have these gatherings, there's such a sense of peace, and it's like cocoon in our own house, but we're all together.
Yes.
And I would love to be able to invoke some of that when we aren't.
Yes.
And I'm having a lot of difficulty with that right now.
Yeah. The key is, since we're all gathered together as presence, as stillness,
mm-hmm.
and our focus is on that, then there's this felt sense of oneness and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I found also that if I could honor whoever I was with in daily life as presence, no matter the persona, then I'd get that same feeling, and then the other friend would also relax. Because
mm-hmm.
the persona is basically, other than, you know, just exploration, it's also a defense.
It's our conditioning, right?
Yeah, it's like just a layer of defense to keep the oneness away, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just in this moment, just bowing to what you don't like and the longing for this felt sense of oneness and ease with everyone. Including both of those.
It is definitely a longing, and
yeah.
I'm very aware that I also put up those defenses.
Yes, yeah. So maybe start by bowing to your defenses. And thanking them for protecting
it brings up like a confusion of not really knowing what I'm bowing to in myself.
Oh, that's all right. And that maybe we could now honor the confusion, because that's also, I find, when I sat with it in myself, it's mm-hmm. also another defense.
Confusion, ah.
Yeah. And we don't have to understand any of this. It's all odd.
So it is.
It is, yes. So just really thanking these, you know, million-year-old servants for protecting presence.
You know.
So then they can rest, you know.
Yeah. There are so many of these servants.
I know. We must be of great value.
They must, since they're protecting us.
Yeah. And this is why, after a while, the sage becomes sort of efficient, or we could even say lazy. It just keeps giving these bows for no reason.
Hmm. Well, I have a lot of bowing to do, so.
Not really. And just in this moment, when you think of this being that occasionally invokes, you know, protection in yourself,
mm-hmm.
what's there now when you feel into them?
Fear.
Okay. And that wants to protect you as well, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's layer on layer of all this
well,
protection.
Well, there's a perception that the other person's conditioning is not safe, but
yes.
Our conditioning will always perceive someone else's conditioning as not safe. So it's not specific to that person.
Oh.
Yeah.
That feels... Yeah.
Yeah, so none of this is personal, oddly enough. It's impersonal movements of defending on both sides, just in case.
I think I'm finally starting to get that, because you've spoken of that before, that it's not personal.
Yeah.
And I haven't really,
well, it's not. In the sense, because it's on automatic. It's not like you wake up in the morning and go, okay, I'm going to be very defended today.
Right.
No, you would never. That would never be your deep pleasure.
No.
No. So it's an automatic thing. And so we're just soothing it a bit, giving it respect. So then it also can come back to just simple presence rather than protective.
Okay. I like that. I like that I can hopefully use that in the moment as I become
more
aware.
Yeah, it's easier when you're not activated.
Of course.
Yeah. So just a few more bows to this other friend and to your own conditioning. And you can be a little firm with the conditioning and say, that's enough now. Everybody's safe.
Yes.
Because really deep, deep down, conditioning is trying to protect space and stillness. And space and stillness need no protecting.
Right, right. But above the, as you say, above the nose, thinks it does, right?
Yeah. And just a few bows to above the nose. it's like you're, I think of it as the guard in the turret of the castle, you know?
Yes, yes.
Up in the tower going, I don't know, but there could be danger.
Great, I better start protecting right now.
That's right, and we just hush, hush, hush.
Okay.
Hush,
well, that
hush.
Softened. That softened a lot of it.
That's it.
Thank you,
yeah,
my dear.
So you're not doing anything wrong. These are just these automatic things that finally want their freedom, so they come and bother us until we give it to them.
Yes, I think there's a lot of it ready to be let go.
Very good.
Very. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Bye.
Hi, Pamela. How are you? It's Rosie.
Rosie. Hello.
Hi. How's everything going? Okay?
Very nice.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what she was talking about, the previous caller. I've been with this thing that the quiet, the stillness you talk about, it's just always there. And then I go to work, and it's, you know. But I'm noticing more that the stillness kind of is there more or bigger. Not sure. Maybe I'm inventing, but I kind of sense it more.
Wonderful.
And then I just think, okay, just let it all go. Just drop everything. Just don't be any, just drop it all, you know, just, and I feel like a relief when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to feel that there's nothing. Again, same thing, over and over. And then I get scared because there's like a silence inside. I think I might be afraid of that.
You aren't.
You know?
I had that same experience in the beginning. We just get the body mind used to the no thing, because it has some ideas about nothing that it's
right.
Scaring itself with.
Uh huh. Right.
Yeah. So my body mind did that too.
Uh huh.
So we're just reassuring it. It's safe. It's safe. It's just quiet and open space.
Uh-huh. Right. And then there's a being with me. You know, there's like a but the silence isn't me. There's a like, I don't know how to, I don't know why I can't just be that, jump in. What's still dangling and going on and on?
Oh,
so
no,
over it.
No, it's actually, you're seeing very clearly, but you're the big open space.
Uh-huh.
Right? Which
right.
may be what you're calling stillness. Now, there
okay.
is the I am-ness, which will have the unique flavor of you. Now,
that's my personality?
Well, not really, because
oh.
I am-ness
uh-huh.
has never heard of personality. It would maybe...
So it's just, I am, I exist, I'm here.
Yeah, that's it. So
okay.
I am-ness is sort of like the firstborn of the big space. Big space
oh.
becomes aware
right.
of itself, and then I am that I am, right?
Right, okay.
And then from there, when it embodies, then there will be this gorgeous coloration of uniqueness. Now, you can just set aside all those initial pointing out instructions from the spiritual traditions. You know, you,
okay.
you just, because persona is different than uniqueness. The true nature of the persona is uniqueness. Persona
okay.
is a little bit more laminated uniqueness.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Like a
but
mimic uniqueness.
Not really. It's just
no,
more
okay.
slightly stressed.
Oh, laminated. I understand.
Yeah. So it got
oh,
pressurized
yeah.
and
right.
then it
okay.
feels
right.
like
yeah.
it is a thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm over. I'm over that. That's
yeah.
what I want to drop. That's the feeling. It's like, drop
well,
it.
Well, it never was an object anyway. So you don't have to worry about all that because consciousness is just taking care of all of it. Consciousness wove the uniqueness and then added more of a persona to it. And now it's dropped it, as you say. So you don't have to be vigilant about if it comes back or you don't, there's no concern about that.
All right.
Would that be okay?
And so it just shows up. It's like the other feelings, you know, of like these spontaneous, everything is bliss. It's like that happens too. And
that's it.
It goes on.
And then sometimes there might be a real sense of being rosy in this moment or Pamela, and then poof, it's gone.
So, yes, it's always coming back to that place that is no place that's just quiet all the time.
That's it. That's home base.
Okay, so but there's something beyond that holding that. Isn't
well,
it,
that's you. You're the big
oh,
empty space
oh.
that's holding even what we all call presence or stillness or peace. And even the way I'm talking about it makes it seem like there's two and they're distinct, but it's all one. But
just downloads of the one. Or just little mini ones.
Mini ones.
A mini me.
That's great. Yeah, so it's like it's all coming and going except for you, right? You're the
so I guess what I'm just trying to say that I would like to, the word you use, stabilize in that, would
okay.
really, I crave it. And I am not sure what this turtle pace is. I guess maybe that's just my walking. I really don't know. But
but just see in this moment.
Maybe I'm impatient.
Oh, okay. So that would be another app, the impatient app.
I think that perhaps, yeah.
But slow down for a second.
No.
Just thank all,
right.
all that.
Okay.
And just stabilization is welcome here.
Yeah, you're right. I get revved up. And
Constancy is welcome here. Actually, because you wouldn't resonate with constancy or stabilization unless you were already that.
Yeah, I can feel it. It's there all the time. It's there.
So just really feed it for a moment with gratitude. Just, or even bow to it. It's always there.
Right, it is. It is always there. Oh, so then, okay, I understand more of my situation relating to people.
What'll happen is we'll go back into the humanness to relate to people. And
correct.
You actually don't have to do that. You can be stillness.
So how? Talk. I feel like I don't talk? All right.
No. You can be stillness and talk.
Oh, there is my practice, I guess, maybe.
Well, thought wants a file on how to do that.
Correct.
So it's going to take natural being and put it into doing mode, and then it's going to be awkward.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. That's correct. That's what's happening. It's like I go to work, and it's like, and then I come back into my cave, and I'm like, oh, I love this so much. And then I want to just have a huge timeout and just go and just take off, and but I can't afford it.
Yeah. So just in this moment, just thank the mind for trying to help.
All right.
Life be.
So I just need a suggestion, if you can guide me how to.
Well, it's more thanking the mind and inviting it to rest, and that you don't need, you know, script services anymore.
Yeah. I don't know why it makes me sad, but yeah. I'm tired.
That's it. And just invite everyone inside to rest. It's the timeout, you know? Rest. So I found that there wasn't much of a contrast eventually after I did this certain thing between being at home in my cave and being out and about with lots of people. And the only thing that was different is that I knew they were the same stillness and I honored them as that. So if I was in a sort of an inner bow to their true nature, then all of a sudden I would be in satsang wherever I went. Now, occasionally I would get rushed or I was tired and then I wouldn't be in that inner bow to their natural being. And all of a sudden I would be back in the role play again. And then I'd notice it because it wasn't comfortable. Well, and then I go, I didn't honor that person.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, the words, but it's that inner feeling of I honor the divine in you. And then sometimes, you know, people's personas are so puffed up and weird.
Animated.
So I'd have to first honor that I had an aversion.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And I'd agree with the aversion. And then I'd go look for that innocent darling behind the whole big show.
So, yeah, for you, the role play was a big deal to understand that. Am I getting that correct?
Well, to notice that was a layer of defense in everybody.
All right.
You know, and I mean, kind of now that when I see big posturing, which of course is going to invoke an aversion in me, I just know there's this insecurity behind that, and then behind that, this just pure natural being.
Yes, I do understand.
Yeah. So it's more, make it into a game, you know, make it fun. Like, there's so much creativity that consciousness has brought into everything to obscure the beloved, right?
Right.
And then the
yes, there is sometimes needing for protection and whatnot. Just not
yeah,
to keep doing
in
it over
role
and over.
Play. Yeah, because people are harsh and disrespectful and kind and wonderful. Yeah. And so when I honored all the defenses here, after a while I started to honor the defenses everywhere because I realized, wow, it's all the same. And I was touched by the immediate response in the other being. I still have an image right now of walking into this sort of dark, tiny, tiny little grocery store in San Francisco. And there was the fellow behind the cashier kind of hunched over. And there was this feeling in that little grocery store of kind of downheartened, unhappy, plodding along, like, you know, it was down. The whole energy was in there. And I walked in, I noticed that I saw, you know, I mean, now I could say I could see his suffering, yeah? And there was an instant bow, presence, and it was spontaneous. Presence did it. Bowed to the presence in him. And all of a sudden, it wasn't because I entered the grocery store, but his spine started to unfurl and straighten, and then he stood up straight, and his shoulders went back, and he bowed to me.
Right.
Because he could feel it was a very unusual moment. And it was such a tiny little bow I just did with my head, and then a really huge one inside.
So it wasn't Pamela doing the bow. You're saying just presence within all of us, honoring it in yourself, brings it up.
And honoring it in him, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's all everyone is hungry for, to be seen and honored as just pure being, no matter what their function is or their form or their role. And then the conditioning's mission is to veil that so it doesn't get hurt. So that's why there's this, it's a mess. Here, everybody's heart's longing is to be and to be honored and seen and included and respected. And then the conditioning is saying, no, you have to veil yourself and push everyone away. And
right. Yeah. Well, we learned through that too, but I'm over it.
Yeah.
It still goes on, and I accept that too.
Yeah, and
it's not so much.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm with me now. Just all I can do right now.
Yeah.
You know, but I hear you. I understand.
And
I'm
have
grateful.
Some fun with it. You know, if it's someone you have an aversion to, bow first to your own aversion and thank it for protecting. And then, you know, honor the creativity that went into that incredibly irritating or apparently filled with ego defense. And you can honor that because that's a big show. It's like the cat arching its back, even though it's a little kitten, you know what I mean? It's a big show.
Yeah, okay, big show. I'm going to try that. I'll let you know.
Have some fun, especially at work. I mean, with all the
characters at the airport, sure.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing a retreat in January or no? You think?
I might be going to Costa Rica just for 10 days of a few satsangs. You could hop over.
All right. Sounds perfect.
Okay, love.
Be well. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye. Ciao.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Nandan. I'm calling from England.
Welcome.
Thank you. I haven't really got a question. I just kind of wanted to come in on this energy, really.
Thank you.
I kind of came across you on the internet and something about your beingness kind of really touched me. The kind of relaxedness of you and your kind of lightness, a sense of humor. So that kind of pulled me in. So here I am, kind of wanting more understanding of this and wanting to embody that a little bit more in me, really.
Mm-hmm. So yes, go ahead.
One thing I just remember, one thing that really touched me and kind of quite surprised me when I was kind of, I think I was looking at Conscious TV or something like that. You said to bow to the mind, and I'd never kind of thought to do that before. I've kind of been a meditator for many years, and in the early days I was kind of trying to get my mind to still, but something in me kind of really perked up when I heard that, and I kind of had an understanding of how the mind wants to come to rest.
Yes.
And that was such a new understanding for me, and it really thrilled me.
Oh, and, wonderful. Wonderful news.
Yeah. So I've kind of tried to kind of remember to bow to both my body and my mind when I can. I don't fully get the kind of details, the kind of elaborate details that sometimes you share. I haven't kind of quite caught up with that yet, but I'm kind of very grateful for seeing that, and the simplicity of it really kind of touches my heart, really.
And the mind resonates, doesn't it? Relax a bit and open.
Well, that was the most extraordinary thing, because I was kind of blown away by that, simply because I didn't really quite understand that the mind was yearning to come to rest as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've spent so many years having a kind of different relationship with the mind in a kind of meditative environment, so that was a huge kind of new understanding for me that I can kind of embrace in my current state of my life.
Mm.
I'm extremely grateful for receiving that.
As am I. Thank you for including the mind in the benevolence and respect.
There was one other thing I've heard you just say to, I think it was one of the two people that have spoken before, about being a huge empty space. Sometimes I kind of experience that, and sometimes I also have a little bit of kind of resistance to kind of allowing that to fully be present.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's kind of what I kind of long to open up to now. I'm just saying this just to express a little bit of fear and kind of pulling back when that does happen inside of me. A kind of sense of no definition or kind of not being anything that I'm defined by.
Yeah, and it's the body-mind that contracts and pulls back. And so we're just reassuring it that it's safe, because when I inquired into that noticing within myself, I realized, oh, even though you get a new body each life, the body remembers that encounter with the vastness at the moment of death. And somehow there's a little link-up between death and that. And so I just helped the body-mind notice that we're going to keep the body and the mind all as well, and really relax back and just checking it out. Just exploring and savoring and tasting that, and keeping the body and the mind.
Yeah, there's still something in me kind of thinks that that's the kind of annihilation of me. even though I long for it so much. So could you repeat that again? I kind of want to really get that what
well,
you said.
Well, just in this moment, though, just reassure that there's annihilation is actually a human concept. Does that resonate?
I can understand that, but my kind of, I guess it's my kind of defense mechanism, kind of like the alarm bell rings when that space does appear in me.
Yes. But we're just reassuring the alarm even that nothing is going anywhere. Ultimately, it's all about everything returning back to its unconditioned naturalness, including the body and the mind. And that's just a very fancy way of saying deep relaxation. We're just adjusting the rheostat of the body-mind back to its deep relaxation, which if it was in a safe environment when it was quite young, that's what it was living, just present.
Yeah, that was very much my kind of early years, yeah.
Yes, that's it. Now, for each one of us, there was a moment in the live stream where there was something shocking happened, or the contrast between the deep relaxation and whatever happened was so extreme.
Well, it was the ridiculousness of all the grown-ups, and I could never
Yeah. So
it was
so,
like I was in the wrong movie or something.
That's right. Very accurate. I remember looking at all the so-called grown-ups and thinking they were nuts. They're all stressed for no reason and running around. Yes. So would it be all right if instead of using the more frightening word annihilation, just natural relaxation?
Yeah, that's a brilliant kind of upgrade.
Yeah, that's it. Because then everything's going, oh, of course.
I embrace that, yeah.
That's who we are. That's every tree is abiding as deep relaxation or presence, every mountain, the cat.
And I kind of think that's what's drawn me here, because of the relaxation I've kind of seen or received from you. So here I am kind of wanting to further that.
Yeah, and we're just helping the body-mind see there's no threat. Because here my mind felt that the human version of relaxation meant that the awareness was muddied or muted. But here, this is a natural relaxation with a sparkling awareness. Plus, now we're informed. We're what I call street smart. We know the ways of the world. We have a compassionate understanding of human conditioning. So it's an alert, informed, aware, relaxed presence. It knows its own rooted strength like a mountain. It knows.
For some reason, I kind of go beyond that kind of recognition. I kind of feel in a bigger empty space, undefined, and that's
gorgeous.
When,
yes, but that's your freedom.
I'm kind of not totally comfortable with that as yet.
Okay, so now just ask. Here is, you know, I think of this as inner satsang. So here, one of your, I call them apps, like on a phone, has its hand up, and it's sharing with you the stillness. I'm not comfortable with going vast and empty.
Yeah, I can see that. I can recognize
that.
Yeah,
so ask it what its worry is. What is its concern about going vast and empty and enjoying that?
Being nothingness. Being
okay. And let's stay with it. So if it was someone who had their hand up in your satsang, you'd say, and what is it about being no thing that concerns you? We're just helping that crystallization of consciousness discern a little bit. So what is it about no thing that concerns it?
It's a kind of yearning for some kind of form, really. I can't quite get beyond that.
Oh, that's all right. You see how honest it's being?
Yeah.
Very beautiful. So honoring that.
It's like something in me kind of wants to have a form, some kind of definition.
Would it be all right if it was form and formlessness? Would that be all right?
That would be fantastic.
Yes, because see, there's an either-or app in the mind. Ah. You're either formless or you're form. You're either, you know, sad or you're joyous. That little program allows us to experience all the contrasts. But here we're noticing, oh, no, you're formless and form. You're actually all of it. Would that be right? None of it and all of it.
If I can embrace that, that's kind of it really for me.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. Just invite everything to notice. Knowledge is really noticing what is.
Okay, yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah, that's it. Already here.
Yeah, I never realized I could have the both. Like, I always thought it was one or the other, like you say.
Yes. Yeah, no, but this is consciousness's great pleasure. It gets to have it all because it is the all and the no thing, of course.
Yeah, I'm embodying that now. It's a huge relief.
Beautiful. I just have to celebrate by quoting Nisargadatta Maharaj. Would that be all right?
Oof.
Yeah, so his confession was, when I realize I am no thing or nothing, that is wisdom. When I realize I am everything, that is love. And then he said, between these two, not that they're two, my life moves.
Thank you. so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the resting place I've been longing for a while now and didn't quite know how to kind of fully embody it.
Oh, here we are. Yay.
Delightful.
Thank you for staying with that.
Well, it's extremely important for me because what I am. You've just provided me with something very valuable. I'm so grateful.
Mm.
Okay, thank you, Pamela.
Oh, thank you, dear. It's an honor to be with you.
Likewise.
Hmm.
I shall keep listening in.
Hi, Pamela. It's Joan.
Hey, Joan.
I have one of the kitties that came with me from Santa Fe. She's very ill and nearing the end of her life. And in the last 24 hours, she's become really frightened. She's spending her time outside, and I have a little cat condo. It's kind of her meditation retreat now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just notice that there's something very fierce in me that wants to protect her from that fear.
Yes.
I'd like to give some,
honor that, because that's the mama lioness, isn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It really feels like that. I want to roar even, you know. Yeah.
And just honor that in you. That protection born of love and devotion and just really honoring it. Yes, yes, yes.
It protests. It says this is not right. One should not be frightened when dying.
And agree with
that. That's an old
program.
Pardon?
I am so in accord with you. So yes, yes, yes. It could be a beautiful time of deep meditation and deep relaxation. And just say yes to that, because in the human field, there's so many misunderstandings. And even in the body of even animals, there can be. And just yes, yes, yes. And what's noticed in your inner satsang in this moment?
Sadness and a desire to really help, to soothe, yeah.
That's it. Just feed that so it can uncontain itself.
Uh-huh. Are you suggesting feeding the helping aspect?
Yeah, that longing. Because then this compassion that you are, this transmission of all is well, can uncontain itself from your body and go talk to her body and presence.
I see that it's an old confusion, you know, of what actions actually help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on an idea that you have to do something.
Yes, nicely noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So thank the whole doing app, because
mm-hmm.
it's wanting to fulfill the longing, so its heart is in the right place, but only being can give that gift, really.
I think my first spiritual question when I was really young was, why is there suffering?
Mm-hmm.
This feels like really, I mean, in my own life, really young and from a long time ago, and then also the knowledge that it's, this question has been in humankind probably as long as we've had consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, underneath that, the longing, compassion's own longing to bring suffering home.
Right.
Yeah, and just say yes to that.
Yeah, that's the mountain pose.
Oh, beautifully said.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the deep longing, even, I believe, Papaji said, you know, it may all be beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering.
Yeah.
This is this one heart's own longing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just to that, yes, yes, yes. So we want to uncontain that longing, because its nature is compassion, so it's like a fragrance kept deep in all our bodies, and we want to uncontain it so it can flow.
all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let that, like a river of love, just flow. Where it will, we don't have to direct it. It knows the way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And is the little cat a feral cat?
Well, she was originally, and not, she's 11 and a half years old, and she spent most of her life now inside, afraid of others, but not of me. I'm very pettable.
Oh.
But just in the last 24 hours, suddenly frightened. So.
Yeah, she's retreating into herself, isn't she?
Right, right. And I think confusion is my impression.
Oh, maybe a little rescue cream on her feet?
I can't touch her.
Oh.
But I've been doing homeopathic, so.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so.
But the bowing to her presence, because then it will open.
Uh-huh.
And reassure her nervous system.
Yes, I had gotten into, this is wrong, I have to do something about it.
Okay.
And that, you know, my contracted energy is not going to help her very much.
That's right.
It's like, wait, what's wrong with this picture?
Oh, but it's that worried love, isn't it?
Yeah. It was. It had gotten pretty activated. And
And animals are so wise that, you know, as they're dropping the body, they do go on retreat.
Yes, they do. That's been my experience. I was a little surprised she decided to go out to do it, but I want to honor that, too. I don't want to... she's comfortable, so...
Good.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you, dear. This is very, very helpful.
Much love.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And things very much softened after we talked. And I'm looking at my aversion to my own posturing and disapproval. And it's so embarrassing.
Well, it's not personal to you. Luckily, no one owns this stuff. So we get it with the body to keep the body safe.
Thank you.
But if they've made themselves so notable, is they're probably ready also to know their true nature.
I guess so. I bow to them, and then I get embarrassed, and then I retreat.
Yes. But agree with the embarrassment. Just say yes. Yes. When we truly see all the, you know, survival strategies, it's sort of, that's why they say it's a tragic comedy, you know. Because the conditioning really is a comedy of errors with incredibly tragic consequences, or can have.
It feels that way at times.
Yeah. And just a little compassion for the conditioning, because it's basically working in the dark, because it lives in the past. So it's not here as the clear light of awareness in the present moment. So a little compassion for it. It's like...
Yes, especially with the posturing. I thought that if if I had things that looked impressive, then everything would be well. And now it's shown to be kind of a sham. So embarrassment and, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, but their heart was in the right place, so to speak, the conditioning.
Yep.
Just wanted the best for us to fulfill all our desires, keep us safe through separation. And we're just, oh, good job. Thank you, thank you. Wanting to defend our rights, all that.
Yep.
So ask the conditioning what it needs in order to rest forever and feel safe. Because that's also its longing.
The feeling of oneness all the time.
Okay. Yeah. And just say yes to that before it goes up into the mind where it says, how do we do that?
Too late.
Too late, it already went there. But that's all right, we're all the same. So just a little compassion for the doing app, because it wants to fulfill your desires. It goes, I can help. Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Okay.
Yeah. And for me, I find the compassion is such a skillful way, and not compassion with a big C, but compassion with a little C, like just that kind of ordinary, like, oh, wow, we're all in this together. And once we're intimate with our own conditioning, then we can see how clumsy it is in all beings. Have some compassion for that.
That's beautiful.
Sort of like having a big, clumsy bodyguard that keeps tripping over its own feet and squishing things and breaking things. And you're going, just stop. Every time you move, you break something.
Yes, and trying to talk about what it's doing and how important it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it also responds beautifully to that namaste or respect, doesn't it? So the essence of conditioning, other than devotion, is strength. So would it like to live as pure, benevolent strength?
I think so.
Yeah, so ask it to look behind all of its protective movements and strategies and behind all history into its essential beingness, its essence.
Okay.
And what does it notice?
Just softness.
Ah, very nice. And can it look a little deeper into what's holding and allowing the softness?
Looking.
And what does it notice? Anything is okay.
hearing soft pink colors.
Beautiful. So can we notice that has never been harmed? Does that resonate?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Because it's rare we notice that deep within there's no hurt. Nothing's been harmed. Presence, innocence is fully intact. Ah.
Yeah. Thank you, Pamela. I've seen this color before.
Lovely. And invite that, you know, color-tinted presence to notice its own strength.
And timelessness.
Yes. Oh, beautifully said. Always here.
Yeah. Thank you, Pamela.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful satsang.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela. This is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
I wanted to ask you something about active thought. And it happens once in a while that I will have a period when thinking becomes active, as though it's kind of anxious. And there isn't any sort of long train of thought. It's just one thing, and then another thing, and then another thing. And it's just very active.
Oh.
You know, it's like, I mean, the other day I woke up early in the morning and thought was active, and I knew that there was a little bit of anxiety there, you know, about my daughter coming to stay, which is a wonderful thing, but thought was a little bit uneasy and wanted to try and figure everything out. So I was trying to just be there with it. I asked it what it was anxious about, and it showed me, but it just kept jumping around, and, you know, it was sort of... I kept thinking, well, there's something I should be able to do about this, you know, but it was so nonspecific. It was just one little thing and then another little thing and then, you know, all these little sort of unrelated.
So it sounds like it was just longing for your compassionate presence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, then I was just with it, and I was, you know, feeling it and noticing it, but it just continued, and I, you know, I was thinking, well, when's it going to relax? When's it going to quiet down? And it just kept going.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, it just occurred to me, maybe, you just see if this resonates, maybe you've never welcomed a worried mind or chatting mind or talkative mind or agitated mind, you would know
that's
best.
That's true. It seems like something alien and intrusive.
Yes. So just in this moment, maybe bringing the two opposites a little closer. Like, you find the word that resonates for you, like serene mind and agitated mind are welcome here.
Yes, yes. The opposites. Yeah, that always helps. And, you know, sometimes when I do that, the question pops up, have I really spent enough time with the agitated mind, and am I jumping over to serene mind too quickly? Is that a way of avoiding sitting with the agitated mind?
Well, just see if that's a thought or if that's an invitation from stillness.
Definitely a thought.
Oh, okay. But there might be some, yeah. So just in this moment, just bowing. See, oddly enough, agitated mind is animated by serene mind.
Ah.
That is a really weird noticing.
I do notice that.
Yeah.
I even notice it after I talk with you sometimes,
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden thought jumps up and says, okay, you know, what about me? Let's not be so quiet. And, you know, there's a period of mind jumping around and doing stuff.
Yeah, but to just bow to its immeasurable energy and life force.
Yes. Oh, yes. It doesn't like to be dismissed.
No, it's... Yeah, honor it. Okay, so the mind is Brahman, so it's divine. But that part that's jumping around, that's its elemental nature.
Yes.
So just take a moment to honor it.
Now, when you say elemental nature, that would mean it's earthly nature, earthly concern?
No, more elemental... because there's the divine, which is generally well-behaved, right?
Yes.
And then there's the elemental, which I find very mischievous. And it has a very instant noticing if the sage is bringing an agenda to anything.
Yeah.
Especially wanting to tame
the
mind.
Yes, that is... There is that agenda, wanting peace and quiet all the time.
No, see, I mean, the bird sangha would not put up with that. So here, just apologize to the mind. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Because then it would have to rebel and bother you every morning and all that.
You'll bow to it.
Yeah, just a few...
So maybe it's okay for it to be a little active and just come out and play once in a while.
Well, even that, just for a moment, honor, you know, as essence, as pure natural mind, it does have sovereignty.
Yes.
It is sovereign. So we're really bowing to that, which is why the I thought when it identified also felt it had sovereignty.
Yeah.
And then manipulated and controlled. But here, let's honor its natural sovereignty. It has an immense view.
I still haven't quite seen the mind as Brahman.
That's all right. Yeah. It's a very simple noticing. So Brahman, you know, in India they'd say is ultimate reality. So I like changing all those wonderfully amazing words back into their simple words. So ultimate reality meaning space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Robert Adams called it even spaceless space. Okay, so can you notice that the essence of the mind, like the essence of all things, is open, spaceless space?
I can see that it comes out of stillness, that it arises out of the no thing, but I'm not sure that I experience it as spaceless space, because it feels active, you know,
and full as opposed to empty.
Yes, it's yes. Something rather than nothing.
Yes, very nice. Now, noticing, now bow to the mischief of thought, because you've noticed it arises from stillness. So it's born of stillness, and then it becomes sound, and
yeah.
Then thought, and then concepts and intellect and all that kind of stuff.
And thought is sort of trying to figure it out and saying, how can this be? How do thoughts come out of no thing? How does this really work? What's going on?
Okay, so ask it, would you rather understand or would you rather be that?
Definitely.
What is its deeper pleasure?
Being that and letting go of the figuring out.
Yeah. But you see, it's expressing very beautifully the Western cultural habit of doing in order to be. So like even for folks that work 9 to 5, they do all week long, and then they get to be on the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the same Western habit. If I understand, if I figure it all out, then I get to be as my reward.
That's it, yeah. It's the feeling, if I can just figure out this little puzzle, then I can rest.
There you go. But now notice, this is, I find this so exciting. Notice that the mind's deep longing is to rest. But it feels it needs all of its files organized and full and accurate, and then it can rest.
Yes, that's what it wants.
Yeah. So ask it to notice that behind its activity, its nature is rest. And we're just inviting it to check it out. It doesn't have to believe us. We don't want another belief.
Yeah, it does notice that, because the silence is there anyway.
Yes. Can it notice? See, this is what it does, is it dips in like a tea bag into the silence and then pops out to figure it out.
Yes.
Can it notice its nature is silent, pure intelligence, always at rest? And we're just inviting it to notice that. See if that resonates. Already is that.
Yes, yes.
So there's no difference between mind and stillness, or mind and whatever word we love to use about this that we love. No difference, same, same.
So there's still this little uncertainty. If mind is stillness, why is it active?
Okay, but you see, just that question alone shows a preference for resting over activity.
Definitely.
Now, let's just relax that perception of distinction between resting and activity. And this will spill over into your ordinary life. because then driving is resting and grocery shopping is resting and talking to friends is resting. And so just bringing closer the polarity, resting and activity.
It's kind of the feeling of letting life do the living, just being there for the ride.
Yeah, sweet. That's it for the ride and the resting.
And the resting, the resting.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think you used an expression, you said life, let life do the heavy lifting.
Yes.
That's what,
you have your feet up.
Yes. Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wonderful.
Yes.
And just, you know, the figuring thing out, that's a devotional movement. The mind is saying, this intrigues me so much. This resonates so much, so I want to get to the bottom of it. So the true nature of wanting to figure it out, which is a little bit more agitated, is inquiry.
Yeah.
So anytime it goes into that little figuring things out app, just go, oh, you love to get to the heart of the matter, don't you?
Yeah.
And it'll relax. It'll still be curious and inquire, but it doesn't have to contract to figure everything out.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we certainly wouldn't tell Einstein, cut it out. Cut it out. Sit in your chair and be quiet.
That's not his
so
nature.
So think of that as your Einstein app.
Okay. All right. That's a good one.
Thank you, dear.
All right. Thank you, Pamela. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we are apparently out of timelessness, which, of course, is not true. But I'm going to a deep bow to everyone for their juicy satsang today and return the hosting back to Kate. And much gratitude to Kate and East Bay Open Circle.
Thank you, Pamela. And thank you again, everyone. Very sweet to gather in this way. So Pamela will be joining us again on December 28th, same time, same place. So we'd love to have you join us. And I would just ask that you can unmute yourself by pressing star 6 to say your goodbyes. And thank you again.
Thanks, Pamela.
Bye, Pamela. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye, Pamela. Thank you. Thank you.
Amazing satsang.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings
thank
for
you,
everyone.
Pamela.
Much love, everyone.
Thank you, Pamela. It's Liz in London.
Hey, Liz. Love.
Love to you.
Deep bow to all.